Welcome to C-Suite Radio.
It's time for another edition of the Brett Allen Show.
It's go time, you and me.
Join us weekly for the latest pop culture interviews from your favorite TV shows, movies, comedians, and so much more.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you, it felt good.
Plus, you never know who will drop by.
What happened here was a miracle.
Now, here is your host.
I said throw down, boy.
Welcome to the nice main event.
Brett Allen.
Today, I'm excited about our guest. We're talking with actor, storyteller, Chelsea Rendon. So many great projects that you have done and been a part of. I recently did a rewatch, as I do every year or so, of Shameless. It was fun watching you in that story arc that you had. We had Sarah Colonna on. You worked with her in a few episodes, I think, on that show. And you've done so many other great projects. The Tax Collector is another favorite of mine. Right around 2020. But thanks for your time. It's great to meet you, and I'm excited to chat with you today.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, and I'm excited to be here as well.
Very cool. So we just came off a big strike. Have you been able to go back to work? I was just looking at things. Are you working on anything currently that's big for you, or has it just been a time of auditioning and kind of seeing what's going on out there?
Yeah, it's been auditions, but also very slow. This is such an interesting time because, yes, the strike's over, but there's a possibility of another strike. And because of the strike, everything that was supposed to come out this year got pushed to next year. So the slate's full for next year. You know what I mean? Like, so usually there's like 50 to 100 pilots, and right now there's like five. So
really?
Yeah. It's a very interesting time, to say the least. And because IATSE might strike in the summer, so I think studios are waiting to see if that's going to happen or not before they like say, okay, let's start moving and shaking. Luckily I've been blessed with some auditions and, you know, had a callback. So I'm like, hopefully I'll be working in the summer if IATSE doesn't strike. And just waiting for, I have an indie feature called The Unexpecteds that they're trying to get through the festival route to get distribution, to get released soon. So I'm excited for that. I have a short right now in the festival route as well, CPA, and just waiting for the next thing. I'm like, that's the hugest thing about actors. People don't realize there's so much waiting.
Yeah, like, Alejandro Montoya Marin, he's been on the show a couple times. He's a good friend. Yeah, he's a great director. That's very cool. We talked about that when he was on because he was promoting Flaming Hot, and we talked about the other things he was involved in. Yeah, one of the things that I learned when I started doing this, it's like we go to the movies or we turn on television and we watch you be a part of something really special and fun. But like what a lot of people don't get is like that could have been filmed like a year ago, or as you mentioned just now, like other projects that you are involved in, like it could be next year. So it's crazy, the life of a working actor. Why did you choose to be an actor? Like what interested you? I mean, you've done amazing work, as I've mentioned, just a handful of things. Yeah, absolutely.
I always say that I came out of the womb ready to perform. I started acting professionally at 5 years old, and I always was just performing and doing something, whether it was, you know, using the vacuum and being Selena or trying to put on a dance or something for my family. So for me, it's in my blood. I literally cannot see myself doing anything else. And I have been blessed that I've been able to have a career and continue doing it. It's just, I don't know, I can't see myself doing anything else. And the funniest thing is that as I'm an actor and I'm in this business and I'm still such a fan, like I've met people in real life and I'm like, wait, but you're not so-and-so, but you're not. And it's like, oh, it's because it's a character. It's not the actor. And I still, like I was telling, I forgot who I was telling this the other day. And they're like, but Chelsea, you're in the business. And I was like, I know, but you get caught up. Like oh, I think that's what I was talking about, 911 and Bucky. I was like, oh, I'd love to meet him. And like, but I'm like, but then it's like, well, who are you? And then she's like, but you know that. And I'm like, no, I know, but like, you know, I don't know. Like,
I feel the same way. I, it's interesting because, not to go off too far track, but we do a lot of press for NBC. We talk to a lot of people from, like, you know, Chicago Med, PD, Fire, consistently. Those amazing people are coming through our show. And when you talk to them, they're not the same people. It's like you, like even you, like, it would be funny if you were like your character from Shameless or the tax collector. That would be weird almost in a way. Like, we wouldn't be having this conversation otherwise, other than because of the fact you're an actor. And because, as you said, you've had such a great career. But I think it's cool when people still are fascinated by the characters. You know what I mean? Like, you haven't become so jaded necessarily where it's just like, you know, you just lose interest, if that makes sense. I think it comes through in your performances.
Yeah. Well, and that's the interesting thing for me specifically. My characters that I play are not far from me. Like, I always ground the character in who I am, of like, if Chelsea was going through this and I had the experience, the life experience of Anne, how would I do it? So that it's not so far away, so that I can ground myself into it. Cause I like to feel as connected to the character as possible. So it's literally not me, it's that character, but all of the circumstances, you know what I mean? So I always try to do that. And that's just the way I operate and how I work, you know? So even with Lupe, she ended up inspiring me to dye my hair red during the pandemic. Since I had like red hair in Tax Collector, I was like, ooh, now I'm interested in this. And I went full red during the pandemic because, again, we were not working, so it wasn't a problem. But no, and I think that's the interesting thing, is we forget that. And I love that we forget that, because a friend of mine, EJ Bonilla, just did an episode of Chicago PD. And so I was watching it and I was so happy that I wasn't looking at EJ. I was seeing his character, you know? And then as I'm watching, I'm like, ooh, wait, what? Oh, oh, oh. And then like, I'm texting him all this stuff and he's just like, and I ended up telling him like, oh my God, I was really excited. But again, we're our worst critics. So he's like, oh, but I wish this or I wish that. And I was like, no, 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 it was perfect. It was great. Like, I love procedurals. So I'm like, I'm here for the format. I'm like, so I was like, it was great. But yeah, it's again, we're not those people, but yet we are. And then we're not. The funniest thing I love is like, I never realized, I'm not going to say his actor name, but the guy that plays Owen Hunt in Grey's Anatomy, I didn't know he wasn't American. He has an accent. And it wasn't until years later that I saw like a press thing and I was like, wait, what? He has an accent? You know what I mean? Like, and so that's the thing I love seeing sometimes, is when you hear accents and you didn't expect them all of a sudden, you know?
Yeah, there's a few people like that where you're just caught off guard a little bit. But I think that's what makes like the magic of storytelling and what you do so fun, is because you get to do so many different things. And it's not like a normal 9-to-5 job that most people might be used to. Clearly, as you said at the beginning, you know, you're auditioning, you're getting callbacks, but everything is amiss. And let's hope that things get better before a strike, because I think the industry would really take a big hit if IOTC, because you can't work without those guys. Like, those guys keep the machine running. Like, I know there was all of this, you know, loophole things that were happening during that strike, and some people, and then were able to work, and now everything is now an independent project, and so people can keep going. And then, not a knock on anybody, because we talked to a lot of people during that time and we're thankful, but like, IOTC is really like, you can't do things without camera workers and gaffers and PAs. And I mean, it's a big deal. So let's hope that doesn't happen. That would be a real bummer, I think, for a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? That would suck for sure.
No, because yeah, again, it's a complete industry shutdown. There is no loopholes. And I'm like, the only thing I could think of is if they end up making loopholes, because the loopholes do benefit the people striking, because it's like, hey, if these people can pay us, why can't you pay us what we're asking for? You know what I mean? So that I liked the interim agreement. Interim agreement? No.
Yeah. The interim agreements that were happening. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that because it's like if A24, these companies can pay these people what they're asking for, why can't you, studios? You know what I mean? So that would be really interesting to see. But at the end of the day, like we've always, like when we did Vida, we always did cast gifts and we always like crew gifts from the cast because they're there hours before we show up. And then they're hours after we leave. So it's like we have the cushy part where we get to sit down and chill out for a little bit. And they're just working, you know. So we, at least the actors that I've worked with, have always really respected the crew and all that they do. So it's like they deserve to get fairly compensated and taken care of. And it's long overdue.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I want to wind the clock back about when you first started. I'm looking at IMDb. I don't know. I know sometimes this information is either out of order or whatever the case might be. But was ER really, was that your first start for you?
No. So okay. I think it'll be right after that, No Turning Back. It came out the same year, though. But so I did No Turning Back when I was 6.
Wow.
But it didn't come out until 2001. So that was my first, like I had done a commercial to start, but literally I jumped into the deep end booking the lead of this feature film, No Turning Back.
Yeah.
And that was my first real experience. And my mom thought that this could just be a hobby, but when she saw me at the first table read, because we had to go to rehearsals because I was playing the daughter, I was the lead. The lead actor was also a co-director. So we had hours and hours of rehearsals. And then we had the table read. And my mom said that at that table read is when she was like, oh, wow, this is going to be your life. Like, this is going to be your career. And so it was amazing to get to have that experience at such a young age. I also had my first diva moment, my first and only real diva moment on that set.
Okay.
I wanted to sit at Video Village. And so like I walked up to someone and I'm like, excuse me, I want to sit there. And like they got up and they moved. And my mom was like, no. And I'm like, but I want to sit there. And she pulled me to the side and she's like, hey, if you do some shit like this again, we're done. So don't. And I'm like, oh, okay. But mind you, again, as a 6-year-old kid, they're like, do you want M&Ms? Do you want crackers? Do you want this? Oh, do you want to sit right here? Well, let's put you in this trailer. Let's do this. So you just feel like a princess, you know? So very thankful for my mom for that, for kind of being like, hey. And then I was like, okay.
I mean, Video Village is a fascinating place to hang out. Oh, I mean, and craft services does make their way around there with trays of food and
I am
hot
always
food.
Friends with Crafty. Like literally one of my ex-boyfriends was Crafty because I'm always there. I love the food. I'm you know what I mean? Like one of my good friends, actually Will Garcia, we met because he did craft services for A Better Life that we did that came out back in 2011. And I was 17, 18 years old. This guy is still in my life. He is still my friend. So I'm like, you know, you build bonds over food.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I did some background work on a few shows when I lived in New Mexico. And I remember, I mean, they're serving like prime rib at like 1 a.m. when it's crazy. Like,
well, that's catering. So that's not Crafty.
Okay. Well, Crafty would be like snacks, right? Would be.
Yeah. The snacks, chips, or the sandwiches, the ice cream.
Sandwiches.
Yeah.
Every kind of soda you could imagine.
Oh, yeah. I always get a cup of noodles. I'm like, I am the cup of noodle queen.
I love it. Well, looking back at your career, having worked on so many different projects, you know, you mentioned this idea of you always bring something to the character from your life or vice versa. Is there one project, Chelsea, that stands out to you that really, like, I know you're constantly ever evolving in this, but like one that really solidified for you that this was something that you were just, like, you knew you were meant to do? Like, you've mentioned a couple things here in our conversation, but is there one that really stands out to you, or is it just a constant project to project where you're like, man, you know, you mentioned this idea of like, you can't think of yourself doing anything else. So is it just been an ever evolving process then?
Well, I think it's ever evolving. And also just because I started so young. So every project was special. And like growing up, it was just like, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. And I didn't see anything else. So I think, you know, when I was doing Vida, there was a talk of all the importance of visibility and like representation. But because I had been acting since I was a kid, I was always visible. I saw myself because I was represented by myself. And then I would have family members that were also Latinos. So I never felt that. And it wasn't until legit 2018 when we're doing all this press for Vida and they're talking about the numbers that I was like, oh shit, like there is a lack of representation. So I'd say if anything, like that time made me realize how important that this is for people at large, not just for myself, because I had always just been acting for myself. Like it was what I love to do, but working on Vida and talking about representation showed me that like, it's so much bigger than me. Being a part of a show, you know, like Vida or like any of the other projects that I've done, give visibility to Latinx folks, Latinos, you know what I mean? And so if people have a bad idea of them, I can humanize that a little bit, you know? And that's like the bigger thing that I've kind of, oh, wow, that I could say like was a really big shift for me. And that was Vida. But aside from that, there was no project that I was like, oh, this is my rest of my life. Like, it was just kind of like, oh, I'm going to keep doing this because it's fun. It's fun because it was work for me. I mean, it was play for me. It wasn't work, even though it was work.
Yeah, no, I get that. I hear that like you work hard, you do so many things, and then it just, it's like fun because you're so passionate about it. And I love that you just, you can't think of yourself doing anything else. Did you have any odd jobs when you started out that you really liked and were good at? Or was it just kind of like doing what you had to do? Or
well, actually, because of the strike is the first, this is the first time in my life where I have a day job. I've never had a day job before because I've been able to work pretty regularly. So I just had to get a day job in May of last year. And so it's in the restaurant business. I like cashier, bar back, I host, and I leveled up to bartender. So if they ever need a cover, I'm here. But you know, I know this is just for the short term. You know what I mean? This is just until I continue working and the industry kind of wakes up, you know, because it's kind of sleeping right now. It's hibernating. You know, even when I was younger, like I've Ubered before at different times in my life as a driver. And it's funny because people are always so surprised because I would always do the late night drives and everyone's like, what? But like, don't you feel unsafe? And I'm like, I'm a little Mexican. I could take care of myself. But also I had a taser just in case. And like, I would always drive with like a baggy hoodie and like sweats and like no makeup on. So like people wouldn't think I'm cute. And I'll be like, hey, yo, what's up?
I love it. Oh,
you want the aux cord? Like, all right, here you go. Let's go. All right. Thank you. Have a good one. Like, you know what I mean? You just change the way you talk a little bit. One of my friends, like I used to do open houses, but again, nothing was ever like consistent. It was just like, oh, I have a couple showings this week. And then, oh, 3 weeks from now. Oh yeah. I have a few more this week. Like, so it wasn't like a day-to-day thing like I'm doing now. But it's also a very beautiful experience. I was really down on myself and like, I was really like almost like heartbroken that I had to get a job because I'm like, how is it that 25 years into my career, I have to get a day job all of a sudden, you know? And I've been successful. It's not like I haven't worked for 25 years. Like I've been able to work. And one of my good friends, Annie Gonzalez, who's in Flaming Hot with Alejandro, she was like, oh my God, I'm so excited for you. Like, this is a whole new chapter for you. Like you've never experienced this. And I was like, oh, okay, well, let me look at it like that then. Like, let me be like, it's a new chapter. And honestly, it's been very fulfilling. Like, cause again, so much of acting is waiting. So it felt really like motivating to have somewhere to be, you know what I mean? Like multiple days a week, you have to be there at a certain time. You have to be there. You know what I mean? Like, and it was like this level of purpose that like, I was like, oh, like, this is different. This is cool. You know? So it's been a really cool experience, but my feet hurt.
Cause do people recognize you when they see you working from
some people do. Yeah.
Okay.
Especially cause again, I work here in the Valley, you know what I mean? So like some people are like, are you an actor? actor? Like, do I know you? Or like, what? And I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. Or like, some people are like, do I know you? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Cause I don't know. I don't want to say like, yes, I'm an actor. You know what I mean? I'm just like, oh, I don't know. And then they're like, oh, you look familiar. Like, do you work here all the time? Or like, do you? And then like, sometimes they'll tell me on the way out, oh my God, you were in Shameless. Or oh my God, Vida. Or oh my, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, but I don't want to be like, hello, my name is Chelsea. Do you recognize me?
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, I love your honesty and candor. And that's one of the things that I really like to highlight on my show is, regardless of the level, like, you know, you have, I'm assuming, a family or friends or whoever that you help provide for, or yourself, even, in like, bills are still due, rent is still due. And like, this industry, like, one thing we learned during the strike is like a very small percentage of actors work 100% consistently full time, but you've had a badass career. I mean, it's not like you haven't done things, but even, I never remember his name, but he was on the Cosby Show. We've had him on our show, and he got a job at Trader Joe's, and people were like, you know, this is the weirdest thing we've ever seen. But it's like, and then eventually people start.
It's also how the industry has changed.
Right.
Because again, we have not kept up with inflation, right? Like, so right now, like, a guest star rate is like $9,000, I believe, for like an hour network show. But because of all new media, you could get paid $3,000 for the same title, but just because it's new media. You know what I mean? Like, and on top of that, everything's so much more expensive that like, it's been like, it goes up like 3% every few years. But like, if say 10 years ago, it was $7,000 or even $8,000, because it's very little bit that goes up. Things are so much more expensive now. Like, you could buy a house with, say, $50,000 50 years ago, and that would be a down payment on a house now. You know what I mean? Like, so that's the hard part. And so another thing is the residual aspect of now, because it's not airing on network and it's airing on streaming, the streamers buy it for a licensing fee, and then the actors get a little percentage of that. So instead of like, so when you are on network, you get paid $9,000. Then if it airs again on network, you get like 70% of that. And then every time it airs, it goes down. And then it ends at like a couple hundred bucks. But on streaming, it doesn't work that way. People watch it over and over and over, and you're not getting paid for every view that it's getting. You know? So it's just the business has changed that has made being an actor truly a very hard way to provide for yourself. And that's why so many people have different things. That's why all these actors are on Cameo. You know what I mean? Because, hey, let me get some money sending some videos so that I could keep myself up. And like, I remember like at least over 10 years ago, George Clooney talked about he always goes overseas and does 2 commercials a year to keep him comfortable. Because again, he'll go over there and get a couple $100,000 because he's George Clooney. So then he's chilling. You know what I mean? Like, and again, commercials aren't even the same rate as they used to be. I remember doing, because I have not worked in commercials in years, but I did an Allstate commercial when I was like 16 years old. And I made like almost $30,000 off that. And like, now most commercials, it's a cycle where it stops and it's like, you get only X amount, and like, you'll be lucky if you make 10, you know? And so it's just a very, it's dark times in the business, but we're struggling, but we're getting through, we're surviving. Because again, the people that love it, and like myself, that like, it's literally in my blood and it's in my veins, I'm never going to stop.
No.
You know, and I know so many people like myself that are never going to give up. And it's the people that are like the transplants to LA that want to come here and be famous. And that's where like the TikTok this and the Instagram famous that, they're literally doing it for fame. They're not doing it for the craft. And then when they realize how much time and energy it comes into it, like, I like to watch the Kardashians as my, like, let my brain sleep mode. And I was just watching the last episode of the last season where now Kim is on the Delicate show or whatever. And she was like, oh my God, like a 14-hour day. Like, this is no joke. And like, oh my God. And this is someone who, again, is a multi-hyphenated businesswoman, but she didn't even know what goes into actually being on a production, you know what I mean? Like, so people think, oh yeah, it's a cushy job and stuff, but it's like, you're there for hours and hours and hours. It's not like, oh, 5 hours in and out, unless you're very lucky, because you literally only have one scene that day. And it's exhausting. It's the repetition. It's, oh wait, I have to do this exactly the same way. Okay, well, let me channel all this feelings that I have, and then it comes out, and then I got to bring it up again in 5 minutes to do the next take, you know? So it's the people that are in it for the wrong reasons that will always give up.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. We could have a whole nother conversation about the TikTok and the Instagram. A lot of people have
the Insta-hose.
Insta-hose. See, you are a little bit like your characters sometimes. It's funny. Oh, yeah.
No, literally most of my friends from like middle school and high school, when Vida came out, literally hit me up and was like, oh my God, that's the Chelsea I remember. Cause I'm a ghetto little Mexican at heart, and I'm loud and I'm proud, and I stand up for what I believe in. So, you know what I mean? Like, I was also a little hustler. I remember getting in trouble at school cause I was like selling pizza to my friends, and the principal's like, Chelsea, you can't sell food. Well, no, it's cause I got a piece, but like some of my friends wanted some, so I got more, but then I ended up getting a lot. And so I'm just selling it for a dollar. And then she's like, No, Chelsea, you can't do that.
I used to sell gum and candy to my friends in middle school, so I get it. It was easy money because my mom wouldn't give me lunch money for pizza.
Oh, no, my mom spoiled the fuck out of me. She literally used to bring me lunch almost every day, whether it was KFC or pizza or King Taco or anything I wanted. I'd be like, Mom, I want this, and she'd bring it to me. I was I'm spoiled, and I know that.
That's okay. It's okay to be that. One last question. You're many of many actors we've had who got to work on Shameless, and that was a really fun role. Like I said, I just recently watched it, and it was fun seeing your character. What was your experience like going onto that show, a well-oiled machine? You come in and you get to work and have an arc. Was that a fun experience for you working with those people? Because that was just really fun watching that storyline and that whole dynamic between you and Ethan and just everybody, you know, in that whole show. I mean, it was in Chicago, I'm assuming is where you filmed it. I don't know. That kind of stuff can be weird sometimes too, where it looks like it's one place, but it's somewhere completely different.
Yeah. Well, so first off, I had an amazing experience. I was a fan of Shameless, so I was very nervous getting the job, and like, I didn't even audition for it. It was an offer. So like, I didn't know exactly where they wanted the character to be. So that was one of the main conversations I had with the director of the first episode. But it was amazing. It was exciting. Everybody was great. Like, I still keep in touch with like Howie or Ethan and stuff. Like, and everybody was great. And again, they are a well-oiled machine and they're a tight-knit crew, but they were very welcoming. Cause like, you hear like horror stories of like people that guest starred on Friends, and they were like, oh yeah, everybody was over there and I was over here. You know what I mean? Like, so I was nervous. Like, these people love each other and they've been working together for a decade. Like,
yeah,
just come in. But like, Ethan made sure to like include me with everybody and everything, because most of the stuff I did with him. And he was very, very welcoming. And the most interesting thing about it was a no side set. So the way production works is you get your script, and then on the day that you're filming, there's a little package of the sides and the scenes.
Yeah, I heard that about John, that there was no.
So again, as an actor, you're used to going into your trailer, getting it, and like looking it over while you're on set. There was no sides. So I literally printed out my own sides because I've never done this before. So like the first episode, like I had them in different places, like just as like a safety blanket. Like, I think I looked at it once or twice, but then in the second episode, I was like, fuck it. I don't even need it. I'm good. You know? So that was really interesting. And like, I was in awe. I think it was, Jeremy had like a monologue and was just boop, boop, boop. And I'm just like, whoa, like respect. I remember, William H. Macy was actually directing an episode that he had so much stuff in. So then I'm just like, you're like here as the director, but you're also here as the actor, and you know all of this already. Like, it is magnificent. So it was such an amazing experience. I feel like I learned a lot. I grew as an actor, and we did go to Chicago. So the way that they work more in the last few years was they would film. We filmed here at Warner Brothers, and then a few things on location. But then for 1 week, they would go to Chicago and film a bunch of exteriors in Chicago so that you can get the feel of the neighborhood. So I actually got to film at the Shameless house, which, like, I remember taking like selfies and being like, oh my God, here, you know, and it was surreal. I also fell in love with Chicago. It's literally like the one place I'm like, I want to book something there. Like, I want something to take me there. It was amazing. Also, the best steak I ever had in my life, still to this day, Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Phenomenal. But yeah, so it was inspiring. You know what I mean? Like, again, after all these years, to like be on a different sort of set in a different environment and still be like keeping up with everybody and like handling what I had to handle. And like I said, everybody was just so amazing. Like, it was beautiful, and I'm so thankful for it.
Well, you've had an awesome career, and I love watching you work, from Vita to all the projects in between. Recently, Lopez versus Lopez was a lot of fun.
Lopez versus Lopez, my first sitcom. I literally, like, I'm a dramatic queen. Like growing up, everything I did was dramatic, and me crying and somebody dying. So I was so nervous on Lopez versus Lopez because it was my first sitcom, and I was like, what do I do? Like, what? Like, my friend, she hates that I say this story, but my friend Jessica Marie Garcia was on the episode with me, and I remember we had our table read and we did our first run through, and we came in through the front door, and then it was like, okay, wait, let's reset. And then I closed the door, and she was like, no, don't close the door. Like, you don't close the door on a sitcom. And I was like, oh my God, do I open it? What? And like, I just panicked, and like, I literally started crying a little bit because I was so scared I was going to get in trouble. And she was like, oh my God, I'm kidding. It's a joke. And I was like, okay, that's cool. And she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. But like, I'm also very gullible. And so it was just, yeah, it was just a whole nother experience, but being able to work on that was also a dream. So I've been very lucky. I'm so blessed.
Very cool. Well, Chelsea, you're awesome. And thank you so much for your time. I appreciate hanging out today, and best of luck to you. Hopefully things start moving and getting back to more normal for you. And
well, for everybody, honestly.
Yeah.
We just need work. Everybody needs work.
But awesome. Yeah. Chelsea, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening and being a part of today's conversation.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider sharing it with a friend. It's absolutely free.
A major proportion.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
And remember, we care.